Praise be to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of our Master Muhammad and protect his Muslim nation from that which he fears for them. I ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to grant us the sincere intentions. Immigration to Abyssinia, the boycott, and the year of sorrow. The harm of the blasphemers intensified against the Prophet and his companions. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told some of his companions to go out to the land of Abyssinia, which is in East Africa. 83 men and 11 Qurayshi women immigrated to Abyssinia. Among them were Uthman and his wife Ruqayya, the daughter of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Az-Zubayr, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and Ja'far ibn Abi Talib. They were of two groups, one leaving before the other. Note that the daughter of the Prophet Ruqayya had married the Honorable Uthman. Uthman became one of the best followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The king of Abyssinia was Christian. The king welcomed the Muslims and honored them. He allowed them to stay in his country and practice the religion. Word of this got to the blasphemers of Mecca. As a result, the idol worshippers of Quraysh sent two men with gifts to the king of Abyssinia, requesting that he hand over the Muslims to them. Their effort was fruitless. The king sent after the Muslims. Ja'far ibn Abi Talib pointed out the teachings of the Prophet about Jesus, that he was the slave of Allah and his messenger. Moreover, he recited some of the Quran, which caused the king to cry. He protected them and did not allow the blasphemers to hurt them. This honorable king embraced Islam. He received a letter from our Prophet and became one of the upright Muslims. A few years after embracing Islam, the king died. On the same day, the Messenger of Allah said, "Today your brother An-Najashi died. He is a righteous man." He ordered the Muslims to perform the funeral prayer for An-Najashi, which the Messenger led. Meanwhile, the Muslims in Mecca suffered a lot of tight conditions. They were isolated into a particular rocky area outside the city of Mecca, a place where people would not normally live, where no one was allowed to buy from or sell to them. They were patient, seeking the reward from Allah. This extremely harsh situation continued for 3 years. Still, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go out to the Kaaba and bravely call the people to Islam. Although he would not become Muslim, Abu Talib and other blasphemers among the Prophet's clan stayed with the Muslims in this valley, suffering from the lack of food as well. It was the character of Abu Talib to keep his vow to protect his nephew, no matter the circumstances. As the years passed, the relatives of the Prophet disputed about the boycott of the Prophet and the people with him. Some were not in favor of the extreme injustice. The blasphemers had posted a proclamation on the Kaaba concerning the confinement of the Muslims. Our Prophet received revelation that insects had eaten away his proclamation, except for the name of Allah. Abu Talib informed the people of this revelation. They checked the parchment and found it eaten away except for Allah's name. At this, they stopped the boycott. The Muslims and the Hashim clan members returned to their homes. Our Prophet was starting his 10th year of prophethood. 6 months after leaving the confinement, Abu Talib became sick. The Prophet came to him. There, he found Abu Jahl and another blasphemer at Abu Talib's deathbed. While Abu Jahl urged Abu Talib to stick to idol worship, our Prophet continued to urge him to embrace Islam. Abu Talib said that he would not leave the religion of his father, Abdul Muttalib, and died as a blasphemer, a person of the hellfire, wal'iyadhu billah. 2 months later, the Honorable Lady Khadija also died, at the age of 65. Our Prophet left the sorrow of missing her, although he knew without doubt that all her suffering was over. She would be one of the highest women of paradise. The Prophet was left with daughters without their mother with them. After the death of his dear Khadija, and in the same year, our Prophet married Lady Sauda, an early convert to Islam who had suffered many hardships and was then a widow. Shortly after Lady Khadija's death, our Prophet saw Jibreel in his dream showing him Aisha, the daughter of Abu Bakr, and saying, "This is your wife." Abu Bakr and his wife were delighted to give their daughter in marriage to the Prophet. This wife, Aisha, lived long after the death of our Prophet and helped the Muslim community greatly by continuously relating the sayings she heard from the Prophet until her death in the year 56 of Al-Hijra. After the death of his beloved wife Khadija, the Prophet went to Ta'if, a city some 40 miles from Mecca, hoping that some people there would embrace Islam. He and Zayd ibn Haritha, who was with him, were met with hostility and were pelted with stones. Our Prophet did not retaliate and relied on Allah completely. Our Prophet returned to Mecca with the continuing hostilities of the blasphemers there. Our Prophet relentlessly spoke with people of different tribes about Islam and gave them the clear proofs of the Quran. Among the special distinctions of the last messenger is that Muhammad was sent to the humans and the jinn. Jinn are creations who are not human. They live on earth, some of them being believers in Islam, but most of them are not. The disbelievers among the jinn are the devils. The first devil, Satan, is a jinni. He was never an angel or a human. Our Prophet was the only prophet who was sent to the jinn as well as humans. He would go to certain places and teach them. In general, humans cannot see the jinn around us, as we cannot see the angels around us either. Four people traveled from Yemen to Mecca, not knowing about our Prophet and his call. Before reaching Mecca at night, one of them could not sleep. He heard a voice without seeing a body. The voice said, "O you traveling people, when you come to Mecca with the Kaaba, give our salutation to Muhammad and tell him that we are your followers, as Jesus, the son of Mary, told us to do." This jinni had been alive during the time of Jesus and had heard Jesus teaching about a last prophet to come named Muhammad. When Muhammad proclaimed prophethood and the jinni found out, this same jinni knew to follow our prophet as he had followed Jesus before. This jinni had heard Prophet Jesus, although Prophet Jesus was not ordered to call the jinn specifically. The Night Journey. After all these hardships, Allah blessed our Prophet with a magnificent honor and experience. 2 years before immigrating to Medina, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was 51 years old, he went from Mecca, from the house of Lady Ummu Hani, his paternal cousin, on a night journey, Isra. The journey was by both body and soul, which is confirmed in the Quran and Hadith. The Prophet relates that it was night and his chest was cut open like when he was a young boy with Halima. This was to prepare him for the greatness of what was to happen to him. Angel Jibreel cut open his chest and washed his heart with Zamzam water. Then he brought a golden bowl which he emptied into the Prophet's chest. As a result, his heart increased in wisdom and faith. Then the angel closed up his chest. Angel Jibreel brought Al-Buraq to him. Al-Buraq is one of the animals of paradise. One stride of this animal goes as far as his furthest sight. The Prophet rode behind Jibreel on Al-Buraq and they passed by Al-Madina before the Prophet migrated to it. The Prophet descended and prayed. He then passed by Madian, the city of Prophet Shu'aib, and prayed 2 rak'ahs there. Then he reached Tur Sayna and prayed 2 rak'ahs there. Then they reached Bayt Lahim, which is where Prophet Jesus sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born, and he prayed 2 rak'ahs there. When he reached Bayt al-Maqdis, Jerusalem, he tied al-Buraq to the ring that the other prophets had used. Then he entered al-Masjid al-Aqsa that Prophet Adam had built 40 years after he built the Kaaba. On the night of the journey, a huge honor for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam occurred. Allah gathered all the prophets from Adam to Jesus in al-Masjid al-Aqsa, and the Prophet led them as their imam in prayer. Previously, all the prophets had taken an oath to Allah. They vowed that if they were alive when the final prophet received his revelation, they would believe in and help him to be victorious. Each one of the prophets had ordered his followers to comply with this oath as well. During this night journey, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw many unusual things among them. On his way to Bayt al-Maqdis, Jerusalem, he saw the world in the shape of an old woman, and he saw the devil on the side of the road calling him, but not daring to hurt the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah created signs indicating the extreme goodness of some deeds and the extreme badness of others. And among these signs were also seeing people with their lips and tongues clipped with fiery clippers. Jibril said, "Those are the people who speak words to mislead people. They invite others to straying, corruption, cheating." Among these signs were also seeing people competing to eat some rotten meat and leave out eating the good meat. Jibril said, "Those are people from your nation who leave out consuming the permissible items and instead consume stinking, prohibited items. They are the fornicators and adulterers." Among these signs were also seeing people drinking from the disgusting pus of the fornicators and adulterers. Jibril said, "Those are the drinkers of alcohol in this life." Among these signs were also seeing people scratching their faces and chests with brazen fingernails. Jibril said, "Those are the ones who used to backbite others." Our Prophet smelled a nice scent from a grave and asked Jibril about it. Jibril told him that it was the grave of the woman who used to comb the hair of the daughter of Pharaoh. The Pharaoh referred to was the extremely unjust ruler of Egypt during the time of Prophet Moses, Al-Walid ibn Mus'ab. He declared to the people that he was their lord. If a person refused to worship him, he would kill him in a torturous way. He was known as the Lord of the Posts, for he would tie those who did not believe in him to four posts and torture them to death. He even killed his own wonderful, compassionate wife by having her tied under a huge millstone, for she believed in Moses. Her name is Asiya. Allah mentions in the Quran in Surah At-Tahrim, verse number 11, that she is one of the best women along with Mary, the mother of Prophet Jesus. So we were saying, our Prophet smelled a nice scent from a grave and asked Jibril about it. Jibril told him that it was the grave of the woman who used to comb the hair of the daughter of Pharaoh. This combing woman was a pious believer. While she was combing the hair of Pharaoh's daughter, the comb dropped from her hand. She said, "Bismillah, in the name of Allah." The daughter of Pharaoh asked her, "Do you have a lord other than my father?" The woman replied, "Yes, my God and the God of your father is Allah." The daughter told her father. Pharaoh ordered the woman to change her religion, that is the religion of Islam, but she refused. Pharaoh had a big container filled with water on a fire to boil. Then he threw her children into it one by one. When he wanted to throw a young nursing child of hers, Allah enabled the child to say, "O mother, be patient. The torture in the hereafter is greater than the torture you bear in this world. Do not waver, you are on truth." The woman said to Pharaoh, "I ask you to fulfill my wish and gather the bones and bury them together." Pharaoh said, "You have that." He then threw her into the container. She and her children died as martyrs, rahimahumullah. Mi'raj, the Ascension. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Then he rose up to the heavens. The Prophet of Allah said about his ascension, "We ascended to outside the first heaven and Jibril asked for admittance. It was then said, 'Who are you?' He said, 'Jibril.' He was asked, 'Who is with you?' He said, 'Muhammad.' He was asked, 'Was he called for?' Jibril said, 'He was called for.' It was then opened for us. There I saw Adam. He welcomed me. He welcomed me and made dua for me. Then we ascended to the second heaven, and Jibreel, peace be upon him, asked for admittance. Then the guardian angel said, "Who are you?" He said, "Jibreel." He was asked, "Who is with you?" He said, "Muhammad." He was asked, "Was he called for?" Jibreel said, "He was called for." It was then opened for us. There I saw the two cousins, Isa, Jesus, the son of Maryam, Mary, and Yahya, John, the son of Zechariah. They welcomed me and made dua for me. Then we ascended to the third heaven, and Jibreel asked for admittance. It was then said, "Who are you?" He said, "Jibreel." He was asked, "Who is with you?" He said, "Muhammad." He was asked, "Was he called for?" Jibreel said, "He was called for." It was then opened for us. There I saw Yusuf, Joseph, who was given great beauty. He welcomed me and made dua for me. Then we ascended to the fourth heaven, and Jibreel, peace be upon him, asked for admittance. It was then said, "Who are you?" He said, "Jibreel." He was asked, "Who is with you?" He said, "Muhammad." He was asked, "Was he called for?" Jibreel said, "He was called for." It was then opened for us. There I saw Idris. He welcomed me and made dua for me. Then we ascended to the fifth heaven, and Jibreel asked for admittance. It was then said, "Who are you?" He said, "Jibreel." He was asked, "Who is with you?" He said, "Muhammad." He was asked, "Was he called for?" Jibreel said, "He was called for." It was opened for us. There I saw Harun, the brother of Moses. He welcomed me and made dua for me. Then we ascended to the sixth heaven, and Jibreel, peace be upon him, asked for admittance. It was then said, "Who are you?" He said, "Jibreel." He was asked, "Who is with you?" He said, "Muhammad." He was asked, "Was he called for?" Jibreel said, "He was called for." It was opened for us. There I saw before me Musa, Moses. He welcomed me and made dua for me. Then we ascended to the seventh heaven, and Jibreel asked for admittance. It was then said, "Who are you?" He said, "Jibreel." He was asked, "Who is with you?" He said, "Muhammad." He was asked, "Was he called for?" Jibreel said, "He was called for." The door was then open. There I saw Ibrahim, who was leaning against Al-Baytul Ma'mur, into which 70,000 angels enter every day, and after they leave it, they never return to it. On that night, Allah spoke to the Prophet as Allah had spoken to Moses before him. Allah speaks without a tongue or lips, for Allah is not a body or a creation. Allah does not need a place. He is not a body. He does not occupy spaces. He exists without a place. Allah is clear of any attribute of the creation. Hence, our Prophet did not go to a place where Allah resides. Allah is high beyond residing in a place. Prophet Muhammad did go to a place where no one had ever disobeyed Allah. Allah informed the Prophet that 5 prayers a day have become incumbent upon Prophet Muhammad and his followers. Allah also informed his Prophet that the one who sets one's heart to do a good deed but does not do it acquires one reward. If one does it, one gains 10 times the previous reward. And the one who hesitates about performing a sin but does not do it, nor he acts towards doing it, has nothing written against him. Rather, one gets one reward for refraining from doing it for God's sake. However, if one does it, one acquires one sin written against him. Among the wonders the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw during his ascension were, he saw Malik, the angel who is the keeper of hellfire. Malik did not smile to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Prophet Muhammad asked Jibreel, "Why didn't Malik smile like the others?" Jibreel replied, "Malik has not smiled since Allah created him. Had he smiled for anyone, he would have smiled for you, Ya Rasulullah." Also, the Prophet saw hellfire and signs of who would be punished there in the future. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam also saw Sidratul Muntaha. This is a great tree that has beauty that no one can describe. Butterflies made of gold cover it. Its base in the sixth heaven, and it reaches up to the seventh. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw it in the seventh heaven. Also, Allah gave the Prophet the honor of entering paradise and seeing signs of who would be admitted there in the future. Our Prophet said that most of the people of paradise will be the poor. On that night, even our Prophet did not see, hear, or imagine certain enjoyments of paradise, which only Allah knows and has reserved for our Prophet and other highly righteous people in the hereafter. Also, Allah gave the Prophet the honor of seeing Angel Jibril in his true form again. This time, the Prophet was stronger to see his greatness and he did not faint. After his trip, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam returned to earth on the same night and told people of his night journey. Since the blasphemers knew that he had never been to Jerusalem before, they mocked him and asked him to describe Baytul Maqdis. Allah made Baytul Maqdis appear to his eyes and he described it to them. Those who were there before had to admit that his description was exact. Some scholars said that the night journey of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to Baytul Maqdis, Jerusalem, his ascension to the heavens and his return to Mecca all occurred during 1/3 of the night. The Prophet physically went to these places. It was neither a dream nor a spiritual lift. Surely Allah has the power to make this journey occur. Praise be to Allah, the one who has power over everything.